And welcome to our live stream. At least I assume we're streaming live. I guess I should check, although maybe Joe checked in. Yeah, we're rolling. We're good. We're good. We're good, man. What am I looking at over here? What is this shit? I got a special on the New York Islanders on. What? So congratulations to the Atlanta Falcons. Very impressive. Very impressive. No question, man. They're a formidable team. That's going to be a hell of a Super Bowl. I don't care what anybody says. That's going to be a great Super Bowl. Those look like two really confident teams, you know, New England and Atlanta. But fuck it. So you didn't tune in to listen to me give you my analyzations. Wendy, don't lose your bra. Lose your bra. It'll be a long night. The fuck is this about anyway, man? You know, I'm looking at this thing about hockey. Was this cat John Spano, the rise and fall of would-be... Oh, this cat, I heard all about this guy. This guy had a piece of the New York Islanders or owned the whole team, and he's just a crooked motherfucker. Bruce McNall, who I would not call a, quote, crooked motherfucker necessarily, but nonetheless went to prison, owned the L.A. Kings. And I heard him interviewed, and it was very interesting. Not only about, you know, what he did before he went into prison, but being in prison. And how he learned very quickly, you know, because the first thing they did when he got to, I don't know where he was, maybe Lompoc, is they brought him in and they said, now tell us what you, you know, what do you hear out in the yard? What do you hear from the other inmates? What's going on? They wanted to turn him into, you know, an ear. And he knew that the minute he told them anything, he was probably in very serious, dire trouble with the other inmates. So he just said to them, I haven't heard anything. So the first 6 months he was in prison, he spent in solitary or whatever punitive measure they took because he was not about to run afoul of the prisoner's code. And I think the same thing was true of, albeit in a much, I think Tommy Chong, went inside because he took the rap for his family. Pretty much. And I hope I'm not getting that wrong. If I am, I apologize. But nonetheless, it was a, a noble effort to take this, I think it was paraphernalia, law against paraphernalia. And he went to prison and found his way into the world of shit that they had for him there. On the official side of things. So anyway, I don't know why I'm thinking about that. Oh, it's because of this goddamn thing I'm looking at. All right. The farthest thing from my mind was the day I would wake up and find a guy sleeping next to me in my bed. Wendy, where did you go last night? Now, if you're new to our pre-show, if you're new to our life, this is a live feed. The only difference between this and the regular pre-show, this is also on video and can be looked at prior to our shows and all that shit, is that all those are on demand. In other words, those are all downloads. The video itself, the video cast itself, is not so much a download as it's available for streaming anytime. But it was recorded at a prior time. This is live right now. So, and the difference is that there really isn't any difference. The video cast is always raw and always unedited. I would say the only difference... No, there's really no difference between the live streaming experience, except it's happening right now. So we're all kind of together, and you'll see, you know, what you say. But we don't do any editing on the video. And we do edit the audio cast, but we edit that... the pre-show is only edited for time, that meaning no, none of the moments when I'm speaking are cut out. We just have an enormous amount of dead air during the pre-show sometimes, and we cut that down. The show itself, the audio download, is always edited. 90% of the time, we've done some editing to it. We tighten things up. We, you know, because it's just the way we want to do it. You know, there's no reason not to. You know, because if you're pre-recorded, you're fucking pre-recorded. What we don't do is we don't stop, start, stop, start. We do the whole show in real time, and then we go back and we cut it. As opposed to, oh, let's do that again. We don't do any of that bullshit. With the odd, just the very rare exception, watch, tonight I'll probably be loaded with moments like that, but Falcons 44, Packers 21. Rodgers was 27 of 45, three TDs and an interception. That would be 287 yards. That would be one holy hell of a great night for a lot of quarterbacks, 99% of them, I think. 287 yards, three touchdowns, one pick, 27 of 45, well over 50%. But wasn't good enough against... and I don't even think it was so much the Falcon defense is that the Packers were always having to play a catch-up game. They were having to... They were looking at a deficit every goddamn time they were on the field with the offense. And you know, you're going to play a different kind of offense that way. But they got 21 points on the Falcons. That's a great offense, the Packers offense, so... It's probably to be expected. Now, this guy, Arthur Blank, you see this cat? This guy is, by the way, that's a mic boom. Is he the chairman of, what is it, Home Depot? Is that it? Now, was Home Depot his idea? Number two, where can I get that jacket? Number three, what's that pin he's wearing? Four, is that a sweater vest? Or is it just a vest? I think it's a sweater vest. I pray it is. Number five, he looks like an affable man, doesn't he? Number six, who's that younger woman that he's with? I think his wife. Number seven, I would tell you an interesting story, I hope. I did pre-games for the Atlanta Falcons. Now, I wasn't the pre-game host, but I was part of the pre-game on radio for the Atlanta Falcons back during the 92 season. Some people may remember it was back when the Falcons had Jim Ross, yes, that Jim Ross. This was part of the broadcast booth. Tommy Nobis, the former number one pick, standout middle linebacker for the Falcons back in the years, and I'm talking about the early 70s through the 70s when they didn't have any standout years. They had standout players. They had guys like Claude Humphrey. They had guys like Tommy Nobis. I don't know. The Falcons, you know, every now and again came across, you know, great players. Didn't have any great coaches. But this was the early 90s when Jerry Glanville was there, when the team was starting to make some... The prior time they made noise was in the late... I think it was like 1988. Was it 78 or 79? Remember that Falcon team? They went to the NFC wildcard game. I think it was the first 16-game season. That was 78. And it was the NFC wildcard weekend, the first of the wildcard weekends where wildcard played wildcard. Before that, it was they only had four teams. I think they had six teams as they do now. Only now they have four division winners and two wildcards. Back then, they had three division winners. What the fuck did they have? Yeah, they had three division winners and two wildcards, but the division winner with the best record had a first week bye, so you had four teams playing in the first weekend, as you do now, but there was one team with a bye instead of two. I don't know why I'm going into all of that detail, but nonetheless, I was part of that. So my job was to roam around the field, roam around the sidelines, you know, and get goofy, colorful stories. I don't know, you know, just whatever. But I got to, that was, I think it was the first year of the Georgia Dome. 92? I mean, somebody can correct me, but either the first or the second year of the Georgia Dome. So I got a really good look at the Georgia Dome, and I got to watch the games from the press box from the Atlanta Falcon, from the WSB luxury suite, whatever the fuck it was, Cox Broadcasting Suite. And then I also could roam the grandstand, the seating. And the first thing that struck me about the Georgia Dome was wasn't a bad seat in the house. I mean, I went to the very top of that sucker, man, right at the roof, and sat in those seats, and that you're on top of the field. You're not. You don't feel like you're that far from the field. You know, and it was not a depressing experience like the Metrodome in Minneapolis, which I eventually got to know because I moved up there. Was just a dark, cavernous piece of shit. You know, I don't know how they goddamn survived the number of years they did sitting in that dump. But the Georgia Dome had a opaque ceiling roof. The sunlight got through, so you had natural sunlight in a domed setting, and that was, you know, that was nice, man. That was less claustrophobic, you know, and all in all, it was really cool. And MARTA, which is the Metropolitan Atlanta Rapid Transit Authority, which is the subways or the, you know, the light rail, that, you know, dropped you right there. And I lived up close to Midtown, not that far away from the stadium. So I took the train down there on the weekends that we were working down there. I worked a couple of Monday night games. That's where I met that guy in the MARTA station. And I've often quoted him. He's the guy that came up with that phrase, "I wouldn't go to heaven on a round trip ticket." See, I'm down to this guy. He says, "You come from the Dome?" I go, "Yeah." And they were playing the 49ers that night, and it was Steve Young. Man, that Steve Young is a bad boy. Steve Young, he is the bad boy, isn't he? I said, "He's pretty goddamn good." "Yeah, now, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I love Atlanta. I love Atlanta. I would go to heaven on a round trip ticket." So, can I quote you? He goes, "Yes. With, if you don't mind signing these documents here so I get first right of refusal." Yeah. Okay. I think I'm still recovering from that goddamn drunk history. I'm not kidding you, man. I am not bullshitting you, man. I still feel like I'm getting my electrolytes back or whatever the hell, however they pronounce that. Tomorrow night I have my little class. All right. "What kind of fool do you think I am?" Okay, that's, I don't know, Bobby Dooley on camera. Okay. And people are kind of talking about this outfit, you know, that Kellyanne Conway's was wearing. You guys have probably heard about it. It's probably in all the papers, you know. Let's see. "Do you think I am, child?" There's a lot of pictures of her. Who's she talking to there, man? Is that Joe Biden? Well, here's like the cat head buttons on Kellyanne Conway's military coat seem to be sending a message. The cat head buttons. Well, I thought it looked like a Continental Army type of thing. Who is that? That is, yeah. Oh, it's Dan Quayle. I'm not sure if I said that in a way that I didn't mean it to sound. It sounded like, "It's Dan Quayle." I don't mean that. I just, you know, it's not Biden. I thought it looked like Biden. Okay. What else? "What kind of fool do you think I'd be? I thought you really, really, really loved me." 97. What are you doing, man? Melania Trump channels Jackie Kennedy. She evokes Paddington Bear, whatever the fuck that is. Melania Trump looked great. You know, I'm trying to keep it light here. You know, I don't want to get all fucking bummed out about shit, but everybody was sort of commenting on the fact that when Trump got out of the limousine to meet the, or to say hello to the Obamas, He leaves his wife to come around the back of the car holding a present that she'd obviously had to give to the Obamas. And she goes up the steps on her own. Now, that may sound like there's all kinds of assholes that'll tell you, well, I thought these were liberated women. Even liberated women like to be treated like ladies. You know, it's a fact. And if you don't know, if you're a guy and you don't know that, then, you know, go back to your fucking Mickey Mouse t-shirt, man, and your Yoo-hoo and your fucking wrestling. No, hold on for a minute, man. There is a young Baron and his father and his mother. Page is loading. There's a Secret Service. I don't know where this is. Is it really loading? Or are you just kidding me? You're just fucking with me, man, because a minute ago I was watching the thing. E! News. You can tell the fashion sense is really intact. She's got, nothing has flaked away. And there she is with I think that's a Navy, or no, Air Power. That's the Marines. Oh, uh-huh. And Kellyanne Conway, just dynamite. With Steve Bannon, boy, there's a couple. With that kisser on him and her wearing that Paddington Bear outfit, there's no stopping them. There's no stopping them. So I wouldn't dress that way on a bet. You couldn't get me into that, man, if you had a loaded shotgun to my left ventricle. But hey, to each his own, and better her than me, if you know what I'm saying. Now then, how long will you keep the camera on me? Because I've got places to go and people to meet. There she is. What a babe. With the cat's head and the weird hat, and she's with Quayle. So that right there is worth the price of admission. You know the Harlem Globetrotters? You know the Harlem Globetrotters have female, they have female members. What the fuck has become of this world? I'm kidding. Well, how about some more pictures of the women and not you yapping? But I decided that I'd get tickets for the first day of the fair. Great. Thanks a lot for nothing. Thanks for nothing, man. Fucking prick. Okay, so we will need this story. Slovenia. So she's from Slovenia. I remember when Slovenia became... I remember after the fall of the Iron Curtain, Slovenia was the first free former communist country that I sort of became aware of because they had pictures of the soldiers there, or the Slovenian border guards or some shit. Hey, man, come on, dude. Let's go. Come on, girls. Huh? Come on, girls. Just break it up, huh? Come on, motherfucker. Mike Nolan, 29 seasons as an NFL coach. Jesus Christ. Really? Mike Nolan was 29 years in the NFL? I'm only sort of shocked because I remember his dad. I remember his father coached the 49ers and the Saints, Dick Nolan. And he had some great 49er teams. Had some great 49er teams when they had John Brody and... Here we are, look at this. Don't miss it. Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Who the fuck are these people? There's the chick. There's the... Well, good for the Falcons, man. What was I telling you about? Yeah, but I did pregame for the Falcons as a roving reporter kind of a guy. And I remember I was too weird for those motherfuckers up in the booth. Jim Ross, you know. I think Jim Ross thought he was the star of the show. Probably in Atlanta he was, you know. I don't think they could get enough of that motherfucker down there. The other guy, and when I was in Miami, I did the same thing. We did a lot of pre-show stuff in Miami, and it was so much fun. And generally, we were in the tent, you know, where the Dolphin pregame sort of pep rally shit would happen, or there was a stage set up someplace that we'd work. And then they said to me, "What do you want to be paid for working on Sundays?" I said, "Let me see the game. Give me access to the." You know, the luxury suite. So you got it, brother.
Mm-hmm. Who do you think I am?
All right. Now what is this, man? Okay, I see. I see.
Oh, I see. Oh, uh-huh.
Right. All right. Sweet talking guy. NFL honors February 4th. What night is that? Is that like the weekend, that's the Friday night before the Super Bowl? No, the Pro Bowl is coming up. They finally put the Pro Bowl in a place where people pay attention to it, which is like a week before the Super Bowl. Not that anybody still pays attention to it, but it's a good effort, you know. All right, here is Tyler Perry. I got to go take a piss. I'll be right back. Second Super Bowl in franchise history, 51. Who was the other one they played? Did they play the Steelers in the other one? I remember. No, they didn't. They played. Who'd they play? Packers were great this year. They played over, you know, a little bit over their heads and a little bit out of their heads, you know, a little bit out of their minds. But they played some exciting games. They looked good. But, you know, we forget when you're concentrating on one team. Now, being a Packer fan, I know there's a lot of Falcon fans. I understand it. I never have really been a Falcon fan. Even when I was living in Atlanta, I don't dislike the franchise. I don't dislike the team. It's nothing about that. It probably has more to do with the fact that growing up as a Ram fan, the Falcons were in the Rams division. They were, as weird as it sounds, Atlanta and New Orleans were the NFC West for a while. Whatever the fuck. That was the NFC West. LA, San Francisco, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Huh? Of course, then the Rams were also in the same division with the Baltimore Colts at one time. That was called the Coastal Division. I guess what they meant by coastal was either coast, you know. Oh, yeah, it was all fucked. Their geography was completely fucked up in those days. They had 16 teams before they merged with the AFL, and they had four divisions. The Coastal, the Capital, the Century, and the Central. Yeah, Coastal, Capital, Century, and Central. I don't know who named these divisions. I don't know what they specifically represented. I think they were sort of geographic, but not really. And they were actually, one was a Western Conference and one was an Eastern Conference. And guess what conference the Baltimore Colts were in? The Western Conference. Naturally, I don't think it's that hard, man. Just take a fucking look at the teams you got in your league, split it down the fucking middle. What's on the left is the West and what's on the right is the East. I don't give a, you know. Or get rid of conferences. What do you need? You don't need a conference alignment. You have four divisions. Well, I mean, how do you know? Oh, give me a break. The fucking schedule, you can schedule anything, anytime, anywhere, you know, any way you want to do it. So,
fuck it, man. Fuck it, you know?
All right. Test 1, 2, 3.
Well, this is wonderful, Phil. It's good to be with you. We're all back and together. And so what did you do last week, anyway?
Not much of anything. Well, last week I was at the thing, you know, on the show.
The show that we don't want to mention until it's on the air?
Well, not necessarily.
Oh, fuck. Oh.
All right, man. I got a lot of shit I got to do tomorrow. There's a big day ahead of me. Not only that, but okay, back my fucking diet. I slipped on my fucking diet. I think the reason why I did, I'm not blaming them, but they have craft services when you do a TV show and you go and you eat this shit that they got there. Not shit, literally, but, you know, it's not really the best food when it comes to trying to keep fucking weight off. But I woke up the next day after that damn show, the Drunk History Show, which... And I'd lost 5 pounds. I was happy as hell. Now the fucking goddamn weight's come back. Pisses me off. Because I got sloppy, man. Fucking sloppy. All right. Okay. Well.
Hey, this is Steve Bertone, host of the Forbes Interview Podcast, launching January 17th. My first guest is Adam Carolla, comedian and king of podcasting, sharing how he turned his persona into a media...
Wait a minute, what's the date today? Where's the new one, motherfucker? I might have the wrong one. Well, then I'll have to fucking download this bitch again. What about that, man? Hold on. Heard it about 9 fucking times. What is this? Okay, where are we at here, man? Is this the podcast? Forbes interview, okay?
downloads. There it is.
Well, when is this goddamn thing dropping, man? What's the date today? Wait a fucking minute. Yeah, this is it.
Hey, this is Steve Bertone, host of the Forbes Interview Podcast, launching January 17th. My first guest is Adam Carolla, comedian and king of podcasting, sharing how he turned his persona into a media empire.
I came from a world where nothing really ever worked out and no one ever got to do what they want to do, not for a living.
Download or subscribe to the Forbes Interview on iTunes now, and don't forget to give a rating and review.
All right, man, and I'm Phil Hendry, and don't forget me either. It's time for the Phil Hendry Show. All the voices you hear, all of the stuff that you hear, all of, let's do that again. Because I didn't like it. I don't understand why that's the same. Here we go.